of the depth of the Lord's understanding of human nature, and secondly, the great personal challenge that is brought before us, a real challenge to our life. The verses that we're going to read today are no less challenging than many of the others that have preceded them. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may turn and trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. May the Lord help us to understand and to apply these verses to our own lives. This passage, like so many others in the Sermon on the Mount, involves attitudes. If we look back in the previous chapters we've read, we've seen, for example, in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 14, attitudes to the world at large, and the Christian is challenged to be salt and light. In Matthew 5, 17 to 20, we've got the attitudes to the law of God. 5, 21 to 31, attitudes to the marriage relationship and to one another within that relationship. Chapter 6, 19 to 24, attitudes towards material wealth. Lay not up treasure in heaven, and so on. And here, in this passage, the Lord is dealing with the shortcomings of others. Well, what is an attitude? An attitude is something that is a fairly enduring trait. It's a fixed disposition that we have towards another person or another situation. And attitudes are notoriously difficult to change. As a teacher, I can tell you that we can often impart learning by carefully structuring the material that is to be taught and the material that is to be learnt. It is a far more difficult thing to change the attitude of a person towards learning or towards oneself. And so here the Lord is dealing with this very difficult attitude and this tendency that we have to judge others. The Lord has been described as the master teacher, and so he was. We also might say that he was the master psychologist. In John chapter 2, we read that he did not need anyone to testify what was in the heart of man, because he already knew. He understood. And how true that comes through to us as we read these verses. And as we have to recognise within ourselves that yes, I indeed am guilty of judging others and of not seeing the weakness in my own life. Let's look at some of the verses. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Does that mean that we're never as Christians to make a judgment? There are other verses in the New Testament that suggest that at times we are required to judge. I'd invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 5:12. And this is in the context of immorality. And Paul says, verse 12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. expel the wicked man from among you. So there is a time and there is a place where judgments have to be made. But I think the Lord here is speaking particularly about making judgments, developing attitudes towards others, attitudes that are not helpful, and attitudes that totally overlook our own weakness and our own shortcomings. So there is a time for judgment, but there is a time when we are to set aside judgment and we are to consider ourselves. There is a time when judgment is inappropriate. I think that time is particularly when we consider the work that is being undertaken by a brother or a sister for the Lord, or the relationship that they have to the Lord. In Romans 14 and 4, we're reminded that to his own master he stands or falls. For those of us who are parents, I invite you to recall those times, and no doubt there have been many, when someone has corrected your child in front of you. I invite you to recall how you felt. Wasn't there some degree of great displeasure, maybe even of anger welling up? As a parent, we feel it is our prerogative to correct. And what about God? We stand and we fall to our own master. I wonder how God feels when we judge his servant. We stand and fall to him. Well, let's move on in verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The Greek word here exactly says that the measure will be used against ourselves. And perhaps the classic case that we have in Scripture is David's response to Nathan. And we'll look at the parable that Nathan presented to King David. It's in 2 Samuel and chapter 12. We might just read that together. You will recall the events that preceded this particular passage. King David, leader of Israel, with the wealth and the prestige that comes with kingship, had looked out from his room and he had seen Bathsheba, a beautiful young woman, and he had desired her for himself. And so he said to his general, "Put this woman's husband at the front of the battle in order that he might be killed." And then David took this man's wife to himself. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." Note David's reaction. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thou art the man. How typical that is of ourselves as humans. We can see the faults in others. David was drawn into this metaphor that Nathan brought before him. He could understand how unjust it was for the rich man to take the much-loved little lamb and take it unnecessarily. But he failed to see what a far greater sin he had committed by taking another man's wife. And I think that is very true for us. Failure to see our own shortcomings. Yes, we can see the shortcomings in others, and we can understand that, and we sit in judgment, but we fail to see our own shortcomings. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. Just a little tangential story to that occurs in the book of Esther, not quite in line with what I've been saying, but you remember the story there of the wicked man, Haman, who came to the king and said, what shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honour? And Haman immediately thought, aha, here's something nice for me. Why? He should be taken and arrayed in the king's robe. He should be placed on the king's horse, and he should be led by one of the princes down the street and to declare to everyone, this is the man whom the king delights to honour. And then, to Haman's grief, the king said, take Mordecai. He is the man whom I delight to honour. He couldn't see himself. A very sad error of judgment. And he took Mordecai, placed him on the king's horse, arrayed him in the king's robe, and with grief and sadness and I'm sure anger in his heart, he led him down the street and said, this is the man whom the king delighteth to honour. May God give us eyes that we might see as he sees. Well, let's just continue with our passage and look at some other verses. The Lord uses a very powerful metaphor here, doesn't he? The NIV says, look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and you pay no attention to the plank in your own. A speck and a plank. It's like a splinter and a telegraph pole. We can't see clearly ourselves, and yet we can see to judge another brother or another sister. And so what does the Lord say? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then, and only then, will you see clearly. Well, how can we as Christians, as believers, and those who want to follow the Lord Jesus and his teaching, how can we overcome this weakness within ourselves? I suggest there are two principal ways. The first is by holding up the mirror of God's word to our own life. I think often what we want to do is stand at the window and gaze through the window and look at our neighbour over there. Better to cover up that window and not look at another man's servant, but stand in front of the mirror. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we were to look into the law of God, then we would see how we should be living before him. And then perhaps secondly, there is someone we trust very much, a believer, and we can talk to them and seek their advice and their help, how we might better live for the Lord Jesus and what are our shortcomings. Perhaps the ones we love most and the ones we are closest to are the best people to do that. And I know that I sometimes get helped in my Christian life by my spouse, If I can just tell a little story here out of court, mowing the lawn, one of the things that I have to do is roll up the hose and pick up the pegs. I get cross when I've got to do that because I want to get on with this mowing, but I've got to do it. And so I say to Valerie, well, you know, really nice if those pegs were picked up. And Valerie says, yes, and when I go into the kitchen and I try to get at the telephone, you've got all your books and papers around. It'd be really nice if you put those away. And so we see, don't we, the shortcomings in others, but we fail to see our own shortcomings. The last little segment here that, in a sense, stands by itself, and yet it is related, says, do not give dogs what is sacred and do not throw your pearls to the pigs. Now, of course, the dog and the pig to the Jewish people, the pig especially, were unclean animals. The verses that have preceded this have suggested, don't judge. Don't be critical in your attitude towards others. But here, this verse is saying, you've got to judge, you've got to make a judgment, you've got to be discerning, you've got to discriminate. And discrimination is indeed important. Perhaps it applies to the thing that is most precious of all to us, and that is the Lord Jesus. We want others to come to know him, and we want to share the gospel of Christ that they might enter into the joys and the blessings that we have. But sometimes in sharing Christ, there is a point reached when there is clear rejection of the message. And I think at that point it's inappropriate to talk about the things that are precious to us. In a sense, it is casting pearls before swine. You remember how the Lord Jesus sent out the 70 disciples to spread the gospel of the kingdom? And he said, if you go into a house and you're totally rejected, then as you leave, brush the dust off your feet, and it will be a sign of the rejection. They will have greater condemnation.